And we have 35 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. The time is coming up on 8:50. Time now for the pre-opening market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that the U.S. economy expanded at its fastest pace in nearly 3 years in the third quarter, as stronger inventory and export gains caused the government to revise up its growth reading. The nation's gross domestic product advanced at an annual rate of 2.7% between July through September. Profits from current production were up 8.7%. The latest data shows exports grew by 1.1% during the quarter, compared with an initially reported 1.6% contraction. Major retailers such as Kohl's, Target, and Macy's are reporting weak sales in November. 18 retailers reported that sales in November through last Saturday were up 1.7% compared with a year earlier. That's well below the anticipated forecast for a 4.5% to 5.5% gain. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales numbers for the week ending November 22nd. The numbers look like this: in millions of bushels, wheat this year 10.3, corn this year 9.3, next year 1.1, and soybeans this year 11.7. Japan today purchased 149,481 metric tons of milling wheat in three grades for bulk shipment. Japan, of that total, purchased 39,495 tons of U.S. hard red winter wheat for shipment between December 21st and January 20th, and 42,164 tons of dark northern spring wheat for arrival by February 28th. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 13,032, up 47 points. The NASDAQ, 3,011, up 20. The S&P 500, 1,416, up 6.5 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Much warmer temperatures will be working their way through the Midwest over these next several days, and the temperature averages will likely be well above average. That will likely bring on some rising soil temperatures and quicker evaporation rates across a part of the region. But at this time of the year, it's still hard to get the region to dry down as quickly as it does in the summer. But nevertheless, we will see a net loss in moisture across parts of the region over these next several days. The temperatures are expected to rise up into the range of 60s and 70s in southern parts of the region at some point down the road, probably later this weekend into the first half of next week. And the warm weather will likely have a very little impact on the winter crops, which are still going to be dormant or semi-dormant, even though we do have the warmer temperatures impacting the region. As long as we get some colder weather to occur soon, I don't think there'll be any negative impact on the majority of the winter crops. The temperatures out there today will likely be held to the 40s and 50s across the majority of the Midwest, with some teens and 20s likely in the far northwest. As we go into the day tomorrow, most of that coldest air in the far north will start to abate, but everybody else will see status quo with temperatures still in the 50s, or still in the 40s and 50s, and perhaps a few lower 60s in the extreme south. And the far northern areas tomorrow will probably see temperatures mostly in the 30s. As we move on into the weekend, the odds are relatively good that we'll see everybody warm up, and that's when we'll start seeing those 60 and 70 degree readings across the south, and the northern areas will see 40s and 50s. All this is quite a bit warmer than normal, and the heat will likely stay with us through the first half of next week, and then we'll see a significant wave or two of cooler air moving into the region. The first one is not going to be very successful in bringing cold air very far south. It'll be mostly a northern Midwest event that will bring temperatures back to the 20s and 30s for highs and lows in the teens, maybe a few single-digit readings in the far northwest. That occurs Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. but I don't expect that frontal boundary to work its way very far to the south, but nevertheless, we'll see temperatures cooling back down to the 40s and 50s for a quick day or two across the Midwest. And then we'll look for a little bit of a warm-up to occur after that, and then we'll have the big Arctic air mass possibly coming across the region as we move into the second weekend of the two-week outlook. Precipitation across the Midwest is certainly not poised to be very impressive anytime soon. We do have a series of three frontal boundaries that will be moving across the region over the next week to 10 days, and each one will attempt to produce some precipitation, but virtually nothing in the way of significant moisture will occur west of the Mississippi River Valley, and areas to the east will only see limited amounts of moisture. The majority of this precipitation will come, like I said, in three waves. The first one will occur here as we move into the weekend. The frontal boundary at that point in time is going to be relatively weak. It will be trying to break down all the heat across the region, and the heat will prove to be too overwhelming for the frontal boundary. So a few hundredths of an inch to maybe a couple tenths of an inch of moisture might occur with this event. As we go on into the early part of next week, a little better surge of cool air will come along, so we do expect to see perhaps a little better chance for some precipitation in the heart of the eastern Midwest. Anywhere from a few hundredths of an inch upwards to a quarter of an inch will likely occur, with some locally greater amounts possible. But again, this frontal system comes so fast across the region and has so much dry air behind it that there will only be a limited amount of time for precipitation to occur, and it will all be light. And then the big Arctic surge of cold air and the frontal system associated with it will begin to debut across the Midwest as we get into late on the 6th, 7th, and the 8th. And that's when the coolest air will arrive and the best chance for precipitation across many areas in the Midwest. The U.S. hard red wheat country will stay dry at least for the next full week to 10 days. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you very much, Drew. Let's look at the electronic trade in Kansas City. December wheat, 9.17 and a quarter, down 1. December wheat in Chicago, 8.74 and 3 quarters, down 1 and 3 quarters. December corn, 7.56 and 3 quarters, now 57, down 3 and a quarter. March at 7.61, down 3. July, 7.51, down 2. Go out to December 13 at 6.39 and a half, down a quarter. January soybeans, 14.52 and 3 quarters, up 6 and a half. March, 14.41 and 3 quarters, up 6 and 3 quarters. May, 14.16, up 6 and a half. July, 14.05 and a quarter, up 3 and a half. November, 13.04, down 1. December soybean meal, 4.42.30, up 2.40. December soybean oil, 50.29, up 18. December live cattle, 127.70, down 12.5. January feeders, 146.20, up 12.5. And December lean hogs at 84.32.5, and they are up 50. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Seems like the corn market is a little bit of a laggard given the optimism of improved GDP and ethanol uptick and those kind of factors.
Yeah, there's really not a big story right now out there on corn, and there's a lot of nervousness on the Mississippi River closure or slowdown or whatever happens south of St. Louis. I mean, we have to consider that a barge carries an awful lot of grain. I just looked this up this morning, and it looks like a barge holds about 58 semi-loads of corn in it, 15 hopper cars.
Mm-hmm.
So alternate methods of transportation could be pretty costly. And this political wrangling in Washington is just going to continue and continue. I don't know if anybody's buying that a real deal is in the works.
So are you thinking that if the Mississippi does close bases north, that the closure is going to weaken?
I think it will weaken, yep. And the further east you go, the less of an impact it will be because of the extremely small crop.
How much of that corn that would have gone into the export market could actually go into livestock and then also ethanol and then be used that way?
Primarily, I think it'll go into ethanol. You have to go pretty far west to be into feedlot stuff. But, You know, I talked to some people in eastern Nebraska that have 40 over basis right now, just going into ethanol plants and feedlots. I mean, that's considerably better than here, although I noticed yesterday one of your commentaries was about a 40 over basis in Chalmers, Indiana, mm-hmm. I believe.
Turn your attention to the soybeans. What are you seeing there this morning?
We're still wanting to talk about some delayed planting in Brazil, too wet, too dry. Certainly the export side of things, that was the only shining star, and it was a little dull this morning. But, you know, that's still the big game right now, and the bean market looks like the firmer one this morning, maybe be the leader and take over wheat's position a little bit.
Still has some work to do to get up to where it dropped in early November, though.
Absolutely. I mean, we had a $2 drop in, you know, or almost a $3 drop, and it's going to be kind of hard to see January beans take out $14.60 today. Okay. We take that out, we could see something up over $15.
Thank you, Ellen.
All right, thank you.
Ellen Dearden of AgriView in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.